back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Juliette Talevi. Tackling your questions on the line this evening are Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss and Derek Janser from Rensburg from Anchor. If you'd like to send questions, please SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Derek, Gary, nice to see you both there this evening. Gary, if I may start with you tonight. A sort of an okay finish for the overall index today, but the Rand's under quite a lot of pressure, so I imagine that must have flattered some of the resources stocks, or particularly Sasol, that had a good day, as well as the high oil price. The market just feels a bit all over the place at the moment. And do you think everything is being overshadowed by what may or may not happen with US interest rates?
I think that's definitely part of it. So I think we're still coming, maybe off the digestion of what happened in the FOMC meeting last week. It was kind of my interpretation that it was a fairly balanced meeting, but it seems that a lot of taper worries have crept into the markets. And, it's very clear we're seeing risk off at the moment. So we're seeing all emerging market currencies, not just the Rand weakening, just as people look to a fairly aggressive taper. But I don't think it's just the U.S. that's causing the jitters. I think the Evergrande story is still here. While most people, I think, assume that this is going to be kept within China, that the financial market ramifications, or at least economic ramifications, are going to be quite limited. I think it is starting to creep into financial markets, certainly from a commodity price point of view, but also just jitters that people are very unsure, especially, I suppose, given the time of year, and the season is a volatile time anyway, how this is all going to play out. So maybe just a little bit more cautious than they normally would have been.
Yeah. Derek, are you taking a bit of a step back at the moment? trying to figure out where to put your money, actually, at the moment?
Yeah, look, I think it is actually where we sit today, a very tough market. I think if we just look back over the last 12 to 18 months, what's actually driven our market and given it a bit of buoyancy, and so much of it has obviously been resource driven. And then obviously Naspers and Prosus coming off quite sharply from their highs, as China stamps down on regulatory issues. So that's certainly taken a bit of wind out of the sails, particularly over the last 4 to 5 months. And as Gary said, I think there's all eyes on the Fed, how quickly they're going to taper, when are interest rates going up, is inflation coming to the fore, and that's causing a little bit of a rollout in terms of these growth assets, where you're seeing somewhat of a sell-off in some of your big tech names offshore, and I think it's also filtering through into these commodity prices, where you're seeing some significant downside, in particularly in iron ore, palladium, platinum, or the likes.
Yeah. Although not, unfortunately, in oil, which I suppose is going to be inflationary, so if people are talking about transitory inflation and oil and natural gas prices stay where they are, I think that's it's going to be less transitory than people would hope. Getting on to questions, so just two resources shares, picking up on what you've both said. The first question is on China, and it asks, with China imposing steel production cuts and the iron ore price subsequently collapsing, would you consider taking a long position on iron ore, and at what price, or do you foresee lackluster returns for iron ore miners going forward? Gary, I mean, everyone gets very excitable when the share prices are doing well, which is probably when you should be selling maybe your iron ore related stocks. So now, with prices having come off as much as they have, would you go long now? Or do you think the fall is going to continue and therefore you should actually either just hold on or sell out?
It's a great question. It's a subject of vigorous debate between the investment committee meetings. So, it's difficult to call. We've had significant re-rating in the underlying commodity prices, and we've already felt that in a lot of the stocks. And now, I suppose what your question is asking is, has it fallen far enough to justify the underlying dynamics of the economy? Is supply and demand now balanced? Or are this fall going to carry on going? So, I think it's our sense that there is to a degree, an underinvestment in the bringing on of new production at mines, which longer term should be supportive of commodity prices. I'm a little bit more optimistic on China than Bill is, for example, but he's pretty optimistic on the return of commodity demand for the rest of the globe. So the likes of India, Africa, US, Europe coming back on stream, that should also be supportive of commodity prices. So given the recent fall, calls, our call would be probably to start accumulating some of these commodity companies. That said, I mean, I'm still a little shell shocked from that big resource fall that we got, maybe a decade ago. I remember buying Kumba at 300 and thinking just it could never fall anymore until it was trading at around 30. So, again, these are very cyclical companies, and it was only a year or two later that Kumba was paying dividends bigger than that share price. So, these are very, very volatile companies. They generally are fairly high beta companies compared to, say the broader market index. And I think investors just have to be cognizant of that. It does look like a better time to buy into commodities, but realize that commodity prices, can move, and commodity stocks can move very, very quickly. I wouldn't bet the farm on them just yet.
Derek, would you not bet the farm, I imagine, but would you do any nibbling at the stage?
I think you just got to be a bit careful. I think there's been a very big strategic change that's obviously taken place, which is obviously being driven by the regulation clampdown taking place in China. I don't think they're done. I think we've kind of probably gone through the eye of the storm. We probably got some more bad news before we start to see good news, I guess. I think there will be somewhat of a contagion effect if we just look at what's happened to Evergrande on that side of the world. So I think that I don't see it running away to the upside, but you're probably going to find that these, or particularly iron ore, starts to base out around these levels. Pull that through into Kumba, for example, as a listed share here locally. I would be a bit concerned about Kumba. I think that, at the prices it's sitting at, there could be some downside risk on this share price. Obviously, you've got to monitor, that iron ore price quite closely. But like I've always said in this resource space, everything feels hunky-dory when things are going swimmingly well, but you've got to be very, very close to the door when it comes to moving quickly when those commodity prices turn.
Yeah. Well, it's the manic depressive side of the market. It's hunky dory when things are hunky dory, and absolutely these companies are going out of business. They're never going to survive when it's going badly, and somewhere in between, you should be okay. What about Sibanye? On Sibanye Stillwater, this viewer had another question on Dischem and Clicks. I'll get to that. But a couple of questions. Sibanye was said to be a buy at 60 rand. Although PGM prices have dropped, surely the downside has been overdone. Would you both apply your thesis on iron ore to the PGMs, or do you have a somewhat different take? In other words, maybe there is more downside, but let me not preempt your answers. Gary.
Oh, it's a good question. I think when you're buying stocks as well, especially commodity stocks, to a degree you are going to be a price taker when it comes to the underlying commodity prices. And they're going to be driven by international supply and demand, and commodities are generally very efficiently priced. So, if you're buying into a company like Sibanye, I look at the management team and I say that, to a degree, that's the one thing that you can control around the company. You can control production. You can control the type of metals that you're going into. And looking at Sibanye, sure, PGM prices can fall. They're foreign to uranium and kind of those future minerals might fail completely as those prices collapse. It's got a large component of its business is still gold. It's not quite Sibanye gold as it used to be. But if we do get to proper eruptions in the market, you might see gold prices going up. You might do very well. But all of that is kind of an exogenous variable. And what you can control is kind of production. You can control the type of metals you go into, and you can control the types of management teams that you're buying into. And I think Neil Froneman and the team there have proved time and time again that they're very, very savvy operators in even difficult commodity price cycles. So I would still be buying Sibanye at these levels, no matter what happens with the commodity prices.
Derek, I mean, is it enough to back a management team? You've got all these extraneous factors over which you have no control.
Look, I mean, management is one component of it, but let's just look at the fundamentals. I think, just looking at the share price at the moment, you're talking about a forward-looking PE multiple of between, call it around 4x, and I think that's starting to look attractive. So you've got to then ask the question, is the share price pricing in lower palladium platinum prices from these levels? And I would say yes. So if we do start to see a basing effect in palladium, platinum, and call it commodities generally, and they start to kind of trade in a sideways range, any move to the upside from these levels will probably have a leveraged effect on Sibanye. The fact is, very cash generative. It's going to pay you a decent yield, as long as they don't go and do some crazy acquisitions, which is always going to raise an eyebrow in the resource space at this point of the cycle. But it's going to pay you to hold it. That's really the point I'm making,
okay.
Just because of that yield underpin. I like it. I would definitely be accumulating in these kind of mid-40s, in this 40 range.
Okay. Then a question on Dis-Chem and Clicks. It says both have made acquisitions in the last year. From a bird's eye view, how do you conceptualize the difference between the two companies, and what are your thoughts on the current valuations? Derek, sticking with you, Clicks didn't have a great day today. I don't know if that's in reaction to the departure of Vikesh Ramsunda, or if there are other factors involved there, and comparing it to Dis-Chem, and you know, which one would you be buying at this stage?
I think either. In the context of pharmaceuticals in our local market, these are really your only two options, you know, and they trade on quite lofty valuations. I think just sticking with Clicks, looking at what they've delivered over the last 15 years, I mean, this management team has continued to just deliver consistently with mid-teen earnings. Through the course of the pandemic, they again deliver. I think it's a good quality business. It hasn't kind of pushed forward and made, call it new highs that we saw a couple of years back, but it's certainly, the earnings are catching up to the share price, if that makes sense. So I think that the quality of the business of Clicks, they've got a proven track record, and I really like that business. You know, pullbacks are probably an opportunity to accumulate. If you look at Dis-Chem, similar type valuation, but I think so much is placed on their store rollout and their new store rollout and how quickly that's going to translate into earnings. So provided they continue to do what they said, essentially from when they listed the business, I think that, you know, markets are going to keep an eye on, you know, what they say and what they do and how they deliver on that. There is some risk to Dis-Chem. So I think from a risk perspective, my favorite stock would be Clicks.
Okay. Gary, do you have an alternative view? Because I know the alternative view would be that because Clicks, okay, both are on higher valuations, but Clicks might get punished more because you almost don't expect it to put a foot wrong than Dis-Chem, which has maybe had a few stumbles over the last couple of years.
It's an interesting question. So yes and no. So if you look at Clicks, I've got to agree with Derek. So Clicks, I think, is the more conservatively run business. Now, if you look at the kind of forecasts out of 1, 2, 3 years in terms of revenue growth, the two businesses actually have a very similar kind of sales growth estimates, kind of growing at you know, just under that 10% level. If you look at the earnings growth, however, you know, there's a lot more baked into Dis-Chem's earnings over the next, say, 2 years before it kind of flattens out and gets more in line with Clicks. Now, part of that is obviously the, you know, as Derek was mentioning, that aggressive store rollout. So my feeling is that the risk lies instead rather with Dis-Chem than with Clicks, because as Derek was saying, you've got that execution risk, whereas Clicks is more conservatively run. Yes, we don't expect Clicks to fail, but they're also not taking the kind of gamble that Dis-Chem is taking. Yet okay. Both of them are looking at kind of estimates on the same earnings growth, or at least the same kind of revenue growth, and Dis-Chem, you know, slightly more aggressive earnings growth. So I actually think there's a greater margin of safety built into Clicks. So
okay.
I'd agree with Derek. Clicks is the one that we hold in our portfolios, and I'm kind of still, it is a little bit more aggressively valued than Dis-Chem, but I'm still comfortable to hold it.
Okay. Very quickly, Alviva came out with results today, which looked spectacular. The question was, solid results for the fiscal year from Alviva. A strong EBITDA performance, which suggests a much more focused cash management. Any view on prospects going forward? Derek, I noticed the shares came off today, but then I looked over the one-year performance and they're up 132%. So they haven't done badly at all. And maybe it was just kind of time for the share price to take a bit of a breather, but the earnings seem to back what the share has done over the last year.
So I think we need to just go back. I mean, we were guided to these earnings with a trading statement not so long ago. And on the back of that trading statement, you saw quite a big move in the share price, I think in excess of 20% in a day or two. So, you know, just fundamentally looking at the business, and we've fortunately been in a position where we have held this for some of our more speculative clients. But certainly, I think a very well-run business, and you just look at those valuations and the earnings they're producing at the moment, it's not on a demanding valuation, even on these at these levels. So as you say, what are the prospects looking forward? I think management have proven that they can continue to grow this business positively and probably close towards that 20%. Obviously, I'm baking in a bit of a low base effect here from what we've seen in these results, but I think that they can continue to deliver in excess of 20% over the next year or two. So I still think there's some upside to the share price. Obviously, all the good news is probably in the share price. That's why on the back of these results, you probably saw a bit of profit taking in the short term. But certainly, I will continue to be a holder of the share, even at these levels.
Okay. I'm afraid I have to leave it there as far as questions are concerned and get to stock picks. Gary, what are you looking at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to go offshore, which is great, because I think a lot of people took out dollars, which they stuck around out of the country when it was a little bit stronger. So, I'm looking at Spotify Technologies, which is, I think everyone knows Spotify. It's one of the big services around the world. Its share price performance has actually been pretty poor over the last, say, 12 months. So it's down around 2% compared to the S&P 500, which is up 32% over the period. And we've seen it really coming off those highs fairly aggressively. And I think we're starting to get to the stage where we're seeing a little bit of value, if you can say value, in a tech company like this. Because obviously a lot cheaper than it was, but still showing very, very good revenue growth for a company of its size. I mean, the 356 million accounts, 158 million of those accounts are the paid users, which kind of comprise about 90% of the business's revenue. And really pushing into podcasts quite aggressively. They've obviously got a lot of exclusive content, which builds a moat around them. They've signed exclusive deals with the likes Joe Rogan. An aggressive expansion is coming, moving into about 80 new markets. And I suppose CEO still believes, five to seven times what value that they can currently still create based on the idea of becoming the audio platform of the world. So
okay.
A little bit more of a speculative pick for me. I think given the sell-off, worth a punt.
Okay. Derek, how about you?
Okay, so tonight I'm going choosing something in the luxury brand sector, a company called Moncler. It's listed in Italy. This is a fashion business that's probably, if you just look at it and compare it to LVMH's size, about 5% of the size of LVMH. And it's actually best known for its winter wear. I believe it makes some very good quality down jackets. And I think that that's very fashionable, obviously, as you're moving into winter periods, across on the other side of the world, but certainly got a strong balance with a strong stance to move offshore, particularly into China. Now, with what's happened with China, I think this is a nice time to start, betting on a bit of a turnaround story in China. They've obviously delivered from an earnings perspective. They've just done a recent acquisition in Stone Island. So I've been watching this one closely. It has had a good run through the course of the last 12 months, but I think it's well placed. And this is certainly one that I think can continue to deliver. And this is what I'm buying at these prices at the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, Julius Malema loves a Moncler ski jacket. And I think the CEO bought the company for a dollar, didn't he, about a decade ago, and has turned it into something fabulous. And we shall leave it there. Derek, Gary, thanks very much for joining us this evening. Derek Janssen from Rensberg is from Anchor. Gary Boyson is from Rand Swiss. And we will be back tomorrow to take more of your questions. Have a good evening. I'm gonna go get a little bit.